Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast. It is Wednesday, the 26th of February, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Coming up today, Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller on the news, including Indiana Farm Bureau in Washington, D.C. They're working on a number of issues, and we'll dig deeper into what soybean cyst nematode really is. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has clouds for Indiana, light precipitation with a slight cool down coming, and the ag markets mixed, mostly lower yesterday. Arlen Suderman checks in with market commentary here on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Indiana Farm Bureau advocating out in D.C. And what do you really know about soybean cyst nematodes? I'm Eric Pfeiffer, reporting on the latest news in agriculture on Hoosier Ag Today. Indiana Farm Bureau members were in Washington, D.C. last week, weighing in on policy issues critical to the success of agriculture. Indiana Farm Bureau President Randy Crone told me last week in D.C., that they have seven individuals on what they call issue advisory committees for American Farm Bureau.
It ranges from energy to farm policy to water and natural resources. And it's issue groups that will dig into the topics a lot deeper, the issues, and understand them and help us develop good policy. But that will go back to the local level, and it'll go through the resolutions process. But it just gives us an opportunity to take several days, dig into it, understand the issues, and it's our grassroots members.
While in D.C., Crone and others met with Indiana Senators Todd Young and Jim Banks to discuss policy issues impacting farmers back home. It's been a little while since Indiana hasn't had representation on the Senate Ag Committee. I asked Crone if that's a concern of his.
I don't know if I'd say concern. We sure would have liked to have Senator Banks on there, and we did work and try to get him there, and it didn't work out. And it has been a long time since we haven't had Hoosier on the Senate Ag Committee. I will say we have two of them on the House Ag Committee, representing Baird and now Mark Messmer representing Messmer. So we're well represented there, but we're going to go have conversations, talk about Farm Bill. Labor's one of our top issues, and the H-2A and the labor rates. And so we're going to be talking about some issues like that that impact the pocketbook of Hoosiers.
Crone told Hoosier Ag Today they also discussed biofuel tax credits and Senate confirmations with Young and Banks, while adding they'll be out to D.C. plenty more in the weeks and months to come to advocate for Indiana farmers. When you think of soybean cyst nematodes, you think of damage to your crops, you think of lower yields, but what do you really know about these pests? Here's C.J. Miller.
You may think that a soybean cyst nematode is a bug, but according to Dr. Greg Tilka, nematologist at Iowa State University, it's actually a microscopic worm.
It's confusing to people perhaps also because it goes into the root and it attaches to the vascular tissue of the soybean root, but then it swells up. The adult female eventually gets so big that she pops out of the root and you can see her as a little white dot. And in fact, that's one way we advise that farmers and agronomists check fields for SCN. Wait till 5 or 6 weeks after planting and then pretty much through to August, maybe mid-August, dig roots and look for those little white females. Even though the nematode's a microscopic worm, you can see the swollen adult females with your naked eye, size of a period at the end of a printed sentence.
He says the reproduction cycle of the nematode can create challenges because they're not monogamous.
But the interesting and problematic part is a male will mate several different females, and a female will be mated by several different males. If a female makes a total of 250 eggs, they might have 200 different genetic types because of the intermating that occurs. So they're not clonal. Clonal would mean that all the eggs are just like the mother's genetics. They are a mix of genetics of all the different males that mated with the female to produce those eggs. And that genetic diversity allows the nematode to adapt.
Which also means the nematode can develop a resistance to certain pesticides, which makes it far more difficult to eliminate them. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here across the Hoosier State, I'm not really too super excited about anything here in the short haul. Yes, we've got some clouds coming in. Honestly, we ended up with better sunshine potential yesterday than I thought we would get. We're going to pay the price. More clouds today, and those clouds are going to trigger a little bit of light precipitation. Emphasis on very light. A few hundredths to a few tenths is all. Maybe you get closer to half an inch down in southern Indiana by the time we get to sunrise on Thursday, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. Cooler air coming in behind this for the balance of Thursday, but not cold, just cooler, and temperatures are going to moderate back for Friday with southwest flow. That comes ahead of a significant cold surge for the weekend. Canadian high pressure is on the move, moving across the northern United States, sagging down into the eastern Corn Belt. So we are going to be chilly for Saturday and for Sunday. High pressure sitting right on top of us. That means we see good sunshine potential, but we are chilly. Clouds are going to be coming in on Monday as warm air starts to come back. Mild temperatures for Tuesday, but that mild air comes with rain. The rain continues through Wednesday. May try and end as a little bit of sloppy, wet snowflake action, but liquid for that period. Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, I think it'll be half to 2 inches with coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State. Behind that system, we are colder then to finish the week for Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In that cold air surge, more clouds around, particularly for Saturday afternoon and Sunday. Clouds may be coming off of the Great Lakes. I don't think there's a big chance of precipitation, but the clouds are going to definitely be dominant. Going into the week of the 10th, warm air is back, very mild for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and that pattern may want to stick around for a little bit. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A mostly lower day, but a mixed close. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. I'll grab that at the end of the session from Arlen Suderman at Stone X. Markets mostly lower throughout the Tuesday session, so no turnaround, although the bean market is making a stab at it. So, Arlen, let's begin with beans, which did get some support from meal and worked both sides of unchanged. Still, a little bit of trouble getting any traction.
Yeah, it certainly is. We're seeing headwinds across the board for the commodities. Not every commodity, but many of them facing some headwinds. The general thinking in the markets is with the consumer sentiment and consumer confidence both kind of plunging here over the past month with the headlines of tariffs and inflation and everything, and that we're going to see economic growth kind of stumble here in the United States as well as globally, and that's going to hurt demand. Keep in mind that we'd had a significant rally in these grain and oil seed markets in recent weeks and months, and so therefore funds taking some profits on that rally. We did get some support, as you indicated, in soy meal, and when it fell to price levels that back in January had uncovered some demand, some buying interest. That happened once again, helping support the nearby soybean contracts. But overall, soybeans still having a bearish fundamental outlook. corn and wheat, nothing to really go against the grain to wake the bulls up there, to feed the bulls, so to speak. And so they spent most of the day in negative territory, as you indicated.
Although off the lows in the case of corn by the close, but nevertheless, it has been a slow decline after hitting that $5 level not too many sessions ago. What is the overall tone in the corn market, in your opinion? Negative?
Well, 3 days of trying to close above $5, succeeded in it once, failed in each of the next 2 days in being able to hold above $5. That was a signal to fund managers that perhaps they should take their profits on this run. And so then as they started to do so, then the momentum trading algos really piled on. Now, there were some other fundamental factors as well. The dry areas of Argentina have turned wet to where even flooding is a concern now. The previously wet areas of Brazil that were slowing soybean harvest and therefore planting of safrinha corn dried out. And so we're seeing very fast planting of safrinha corn crop in Brazil. We also saw that the funds had near record large long positions or ownership in Friday's CFTC report, which made the traders nervous. A combination of factors there really piling on, and now the momentum has turned bearish, particularly amid talks that we could see huge increase in corn acres in the Midwest this coming growing season.
Much of the day, the weak side leader was Chicago wheat. All wheat markets, though, lower, and certainly the wheat market got a boost as very cold air moved in some time back. That has shifted. Obviously, you and I speak when it's actually very nice out temperature-wise. So the cold snap is over, and is that part of the decline in wheat futures?
After more than 40 years of watching these wheat markets and walking hundreds of wheat fields after winter events, one of the things I've learned is the market may trade a winter kill event while it's happening, but immediately collapses after then in most cases, because you simply can't see the damage for some weeks to come typically. And so that's what we saw happen once again. It's not just the United States. It's also Russia. Those risks are still there. But overall, the U.S. has a lot of wheat. And so it was important to the markets to make sure that we not ration what demand we have. We've seen an uptick in export sales of late, as we expected as we came into the fourth quarter of the wheat marketing year. And higher prices could just slow that down. So the wheat market correcting lower. We anticipate that there will be some buying interest at some point, and we saw a little bit of it start to emerge today. The question is, at what point will we get enough to really stabilize and create the bottom of a sideways trading range?
Arlen Suderman there, StoneX and StoneX.com. Now, the Tuesday settlements down 2.75 on March, May, and July corn. 479.75 on the March, May 494.25, and July 499.25. Again, almost 3 cents down on all of those contracts. Up 2.25 at the end on March beans, 10.31.25. May up 1.25, 10.48.75. And July, 10.63.5, up 0.25. March wheat, 6.25 off at 5.72.75. May, 5.87.75, 5.75 lower. Protein sector was mixed. April live cattle, 195.72, up 62. April lean hogs, 86.57, down 82 cents. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.